Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 613. I'm your host, Joshua Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, is down by the bottom of my chair. Look at himself. The three-legged kitty there. It's fairly early in the day. It's 10 a.m. Recording it early because, yet again, I got shit I got to do. Going to a wedding later. Going to a wedding. My cousin Justin. This will be my first gay wedding. I've yet to be to a gay wedding, as Justin will be marrying his partner, I suppose, that they've been together for, several years now. Ethan, actually. I'm not big on weddings, but, you know, I gotta go. it'll be my first gay wedding. That is something. I've not been to that. I'm not sure what if this is going to be. How many people are going to be there? Is this a bigger one? I don't know. I believe Justin has quite a few friends. Ethan seems like a good guy. Fun fact. I've talked to him a bit about like traveling because I've been to Russia a few times, of course. Famously, I shit the bed there, literally. But Ethan, was born in Russia and then adopted here in the States, I believe. I have known a few people in my days on this planet that were same sort of situation, that they have no recollection of, you know, being in Russia, but they were born there and then adopted in the U.S. Of course, that's not allowed anymore. It's been not allowed for several years now, as our relationship between Russia and the United States has, you know, gotten worse. But that being said, yeah, it was, you know, he was born there, and we had talked about Russia before. I'm sure, you know, he's very interested in the homeland there, but it would be very, he was said that, you know, I guess before the full-scale invasion of Ukraine that we had talked about, he thought it would be cool for him to, like, go visit Russia, but, you know, being a gay male, not exactly a thing he felt real comfortable doing, since they're kind of against that there. There's, Russia's known to be pretty terrible towards people of the homosexual community, as, yeah, but, you know, that being said, I talked to him at that point, and just like, well, you know, I mean, it's not like they're going to know that, but as long as you don't, I mean, I guess if you're not running around, I mean, if you're out in public kissing a guy, I feel like that might be a situation, but, I mean, here he can feel comfortable, you know, to be with Justin out in the open, and that. Although, I mean, I guess there's a lot of homophobes around here, too. But I guess not nearly as bad in Russia. But, I mean, there's... but he can't travel there now, as Americans. I don't believe we're really allowed to go to Russia at the moment. But, which is a damn shame. You know, the war in Ukraine's awful, but, there's some interesting things to see in, like, St. Petersburg. I feel like maybe Justin was from St. Petersburg. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I know that another friend I run with, Ray, her sister was actually adopted from Russia as well. And I worked with a girl many years ago that was the same sort of situation. So I've known at least three people I can think of off the top of my head that were born there. But yeah, later I'm going to a wedding. I don't really feel like going to a wedding, but, you know, I got to go there and do the whole thing. I'm just hoping it's not like a real big thing. I'm just not, I don't really care about being around a lot of people, especially in like having to dress up. That's probably the worst thing. Like if I was going there just to hang out with them and just be me, I wouldn't be so like, ah, fuck. But like, man, I have no desire to want to put on dress clothes and everything. And my nice clothes are too, are shit. Maybe if I had better clothes, but I don't want to spend money on dress clothes because I never fucking go do things that require to dress up. I'm kind of glad I'm at an age now that most of my friends now, when they're getting married, it's not for the first time. It's for like the second or third time. And, you know, they're not shelling out like 30 grand or whatever for the wedding. And it's usually like we go over to somebody's house and then just, you know, hang out. Like it's not a big event that is, you know, not to shit on, you know, my friends getting married and stuff. You know, that's I don't know. I don't, it's mainly the dressing up thing. It's mainly I don't want to have to do that. Can I just show up in a I have become quite the recluse. Which I feel like I've gone like full circle. Is I used to be a recluse back in the day, forever, never fucking went outside. And then I had a good 10 years or so there where I wasn't. I went out a lot, went to the bars, used to go to a lot of events. Like, you know, I did a lot of group runs. I still do some group runs and stuff, but I mean, I don't get out much. I'm back to just pandemic really want me go back. And as I've learned from Flowers from Algernon, you really can't go back, although somehow I have. And it's, once you're used to not having to do shit, it's like, yeah, I don't really feel like doing anything. I'm just used to sitting at home playing video games, hanging out with the cat. And playing guitar. But I did, one interesting thing, interesting. I've been having a fucking toothache for, I guess about the last 2 weeks. As not excruciating pain, it didn't feel like an abscess tooth. I've been there. That's fucking terrible. Abscessed tooth is some horrible shit. It felt pretty bad though. I mean, it was more of an annoyance for the most part. Like sometimes the toothache goes away and such. But it was bothering me a lot at work, and making it harder to do my job. My job's hard to do anyway. It's physically a rough task. And then add into this tooth pain. It was a rough week at work, too. We had some difficult shit. And the toothache, and it was bothering me last week, too. Last week may have been even worse. It's hard for me to remember that exactly to know what was worse, but... I was annoyed by the fact that I hadn't had any problems with my teeth in quite a while. And, like, at the end of April, like, it was April 29th or something like that, I had just gone to the fucking dentist for a cleaning. They checked everything. I was having no issues. They found no cavities, no decay. And shit was good. Like, full bell of health. Like, hell yeah. All right. Should be good. Shouldn't have to go back to the dentist for another 6 months. Wrong. Wrong. I wish I would have had issues before going there. Because then it would be one bill. I wouldn't have, like, multiple bills of going to the dentist. But, unfortunately, my tooth had a different idea. And so I bit the bullet, so to say. I guess pun intended. I called them up like fucking Monday or Tuesday. I guess it was Tuesday. Yeah, it was Tuesday. I had called the dentist. I really didn't want to go back to the dentist, but I went ahead and scheduled, because it was well over a week by that point when I scheduled the thing, and I was like, this isn't going away on its own. I was trying to just kind of avoid eating on that side of the mouth and shit. But I thought maybe, you know, I'd gotten some food or something stuck underneath my crown, because it appeared after a while, like I was trying to narrow down where the pain was coming from. It seemed like it was one of my molars on my bottom set of teeth there in the back, like second to last molar in the back. And half-assed narrowed it down to that tooth, whatever. And, you know, thought maybe I'd gotten food or something stuck under the crown or something. Or just aggravated the gums there with something, some chips, I don't know. And just thought, you know, clean it out real good with the water pick and give it a few days. And yeah, after a week, it was not really seeing much of an improvement. So I called them reluctantly. And then I didn't want to have to leave work to go to the dentist. So I was like, you know, let's get some time, you know, is there an appointment I could come to like after work at some point in time? And they did have an opening yesterday, after work. So I ended up managed getting through the rest of the week of work. And sometimes it was really causing me some real issues, like, son of a bitch, I'd be able to perform so much better my tooth wasn't fucking bothering me. But I managed to pull through, managed to get through the damn week, and then went to the dentist yesterday. And I got in this machine. Well, first they did some x-rays. I'm used to that. I've done the x-rays a lot. And I feel like maybe I have done the 3D modeling before, but they put me in this... the dental assistant, which I'm not sure what her name was. I don't know that she ever said her name. She was not one that I generally have. Like, I used to have Krista for many years, and then she got some, like, other position there, and then I'd see her there, but she got, I've had several different ladies. I've been to Washington Smiles now for 13 years. And, the crown that was bothering me was, one of the things I had done when I first started going there. Anyway, the dental assistant walked me over to the 3D modeling thing. And it was very much like the old Incredible Hulk show, like the beginning of it, which... there we go. There's the music. There it is. There's...
His body chemistry. And now when David Banner grows angry or outraged, a startling metamorphosis occurs.
Very much like that with this machine. Like, this machine at the beginning, I just had to get a little bit of that music in there. But in that, of course, Bill Bixby playing David Banner is sitting in a chair with his, like, this contraption to hold his chin straight, which I wasn't sitting for the 3D modeler, but I'm standing, and I had to put my chin on a thing and then stick this thing in my mouth and hold it. And as a thing, like, oscillated around my head, which is very much what happens to David Banner when he's giving himself the gamma rays. As far as I know, I didn't turn into the Incredible Hulk by getting 3D modeled. I haven't been pissed off yet. So maybe when I'm driving to St. Louis later for the wedding, somebody will piss me off and I'll turn into the Incredible Hulk. That could be a real bitch, because my car is very small. It's a Mini Cooper. Turning into the Incredible Hulk while driving could be a real problem. Anyway. Yeah, I had to stand in that thing and hold still, you know, of course, while it's all spinning around my head. the machine, and kind of awkward. It was like also the controls for it were like right in front of me, and the dental assistant's basically staring at me, and it's just kind of awkwardness, like sort not really at me, but like at the screen, and then it's just I got to stand there and like, and then she would mess with the controls there, and I don't know if they're just having issues with it that day or that she just hadn't used that machine very much, but it was taking some time, and I've got to like stay still like the entire time. This took a long time. Like initially it was supposed to just take like 3 attempts, and like she had to do something to program some stuff in while standing right in front of me, and then kind of looking at me, kind of not, and then just like, this is just kind of awkward. As felt like some, almost like some laboratory rat or something. I don't know. This is just a very weird thing. And like, she's, you know, like right in front of me on the machine. And then to actually control it, she has to like walk away, and there's like a some kind of button or something on the wall to the side, and then and she steps away. I just tried to stay still like the whole time. And then she goes over, hits the thing, then the whole thing starts rotating and I guess scanning me somehow. Probably giving me gamma rays, you know, probably. And then the first one through, I guess, was to, I don't know, set the settings right on the machine or something like that. And then there was, initially it was supposed to only be like 2 or 3 scans. It ended up being a bit more than that, though, as I did the initial like 3, there might have been 4 scans. And it takes a good at least 30 seconds to a minute or longer. I don't know. I wasn't counting to know for like like each scan. It took a minute, you know? And again, I got to stay still. I'm like, man, I don't want to move a whole lot because it could fuck up the scan and then I'm going to have to do it again. So I'm trying to like remain as still as possible. And then every time she's like in front of me, the controls like right in my face pretty much, that I'm just kind of like, kind of like curious as to what's going on. Like, what is she, like, I wish I could see what she's saying. Like, what is she doing? Like, right there. At one point, she's like, look at me. It seemed like she was looking at me right in the eyes, which I guess she was. I don't know. And I'm kind of like, is she seeing something on the screen? Is like, it was like, is something wrong? Is like, is. it didn't hurt, though, that she was really attractive. That was. But that's neither here nor there. As we did, I don't know how many scans the first time around, and then I go back to the chair where the exam's happening, and she came back eventually, and she's like, "I'm really sorry." It didn't save for some reason. We're gonna have to do it again. And then I went back again, and I don't know. There's many more scans at that point, and. Eventually, I guess it worked. I was hoping to see the 3D model. I'm pretty sure I had gotten to see a 3D model before. When I'm usually sitting in the chair, they've got the TV screen in front of me when they do the exam, and I'll see like my X-rays and shit right in front of me. And so I'm very used to now seeing like the X-rays of my teeth. This time, I didn't get to see the 3D model. They did that hoping to see, because they couldn't really find anything really wrong with the tooth. And to the best of my knowledge, yeah, I'm not the Incredible Hulk yet. But maybe it'll take a few days for the gamma rays to do their magic, and we'll see what happens. I'll become an Avenger. Long story short, though, the dentist, they didn't find anything wrong with the tooth. They blew some cold air stuff on it, and that, I felt that, man. That was... Definitely, it was sensitive to that. That is for fucking sure. But they did a few tests to really see what was going on, like if they could find any kind of issue. And, I mean, they found that I was, like, sensitive in that area, but they could not find any, like, decay and anything of concern. But they, the dentist, Dr. Bumgardner. I think is her name. She's hasn't been with them that long. I've only talked to her a couple of times. Dr. Brunworth is the one I usually go to nowadays. I originally went to Dr. Raj, which she's still there. But there was some scheduling thing, I think, initially is why I ended up going with Brunworth. I think there was, I don't know, I've seen several of the dentists there. I mean, I usually just go on a day that works for me. So it just kind of, depends on who's available, really, who's not on vacation, what have you. And I haven't seen Dr. Raj in a long time. Dr. Baumgartner, something like that is her name. I apologize for not remembering if that's correct. But she said, she couldn't really find anything that was wrong with it, but she said I was coming down pretty hard on that tooth and adjusted my bite to where I'm not coming down on that molar so bad. And so hopefully that'll just, maybe it's just that making such strong contact with that tooth could be the issue of just it aggravated and just made it not feel so hot. So hopefully after the adjustment, things will get better. I'm hoping. We shall see, though. We shall see. I'm taking some generic Tylenol, which seems to help a little bit. And I'm just, hopefully it gets better. As I don't want to have to do any more gamma ray tests. Although, I mean, it was kind of cool. I was thinking of the Incredible Hulk as it was going on. I feel like it'd be cooler if you get to sit down, though, because I did have to stand up. It took her a while to adjust it to just the right height for me. After a while, though, it felt awkward standing there with that thing. I feel like in the chair, it'd probably be easier. Still, I'd probably have to, lean forward if I was in a chair and, do some weird shit, They didn't charge me for the 3D modeling, though. It wasn't terrible. After insurance, it was like $41, which I was a little concerned. Well, I mean, they didn't. It's not like they had to fill a cavity or anything. That would have been probably a couple hundred. So thankfully, I came away with a smaller bill. Although, it appears my dental insurance, now that I've used it a couple times, it doesn't seem to be quite as good as my old insurance. I am concerned maybe I'll get a bill later. I was like, we're not paying for that, asshole. Which, that's a whole other story, dealing with insurance companies. It's a real pisser of, I've got a cap of probably like $1,000 or something like that on dental. But they don't pay for everything, even regardless that you have the cap. It's not like you go to the dentist, here you go, we're going to pay for up to $1,000. Like, no, they just don't. They still pick and choose what the hell they're going to pay for. They only do percentages of shit. So it only comes in really handy if I have, $1,000 of stuff that they deem is important enough, I guess, for them to pay for, or just, what they decide to pay for. Is unfortunate. doctor bills and dentist bills, can be some really expensive shit. And I've got no other plans really the rest of the weekend. Said earlier, not that I'm gonna have a whole lot of time after the wedding. But I'm hoping maybe to go back to the casino at some point within the next few weeks or so, as I don't have any concrete plans for future weekends, I should say, not so much this weekend. I don't want to have to go, like, casino. Nice thing about going to the casino, I don't have to get dressed up or anything for that. I don't have, you know, you go there and there's plenty of people that look like they just, you know, fucking woke up and they're in sweatpants smoking their cigarettes, you know, they're just having like a pack after pack and just hoping they're gonna hit it big. And it's a totally different environment. One thing I would like to do, and I've just been listening to so much Foo Fighters lately, as I've been learning, quite a few Foo Fighters songs on the old guitar, and went back to Wasting Light, which I talked about, I guess, the last podcast. Started learning kind of how to play Rope and Walk. Again, the Foo Fighters song, not the Pantera song. Which I kind of, many years ago, kind of found out how to play the Pantera one, but at least the opening riff. But it's, if I remember correctly, it's kind of a weird tuning. Not something I would normally tune a guitar to, so it's not like something I'm going to keep playing a whole lot. Which I do enjoy the Pantera song as well. But yeah, last week I had talked about Walk on that one. I do believe in the Falling Down parody, the music video for Walk there. I've got Foo Fighters just blaring in my head, the song Rope. It's just ingrained in there. And I forgot where I was going with this. Which is pretty normal for me. That is just kind of how I do shit. Yeah, I don't know where I was going with the Foo Fighters. Oh, yeah, I know where I was going with it now. It came back to me. I'm old, but I'm not that old. I'm not forgetting my own name yet. I got an app on my phone now. Because I've decided, like, man, I really have to go to a fucking Foo Fighters show while Dave Grohl's still alive. I feel like that will be the end of the Foo Fighters. You know, Taylor was such a huge part, of course, Taylor Hawkins, such a huge part of the Foo Fighters. And I, wondered if really they would continue on as the Foo Fighters. I mean, I figured Dave Grohl would continue doing shit, but I didn't know for certain if he would want to keep the Foo Fighters alive at that point, because, I mean, he's involved in, like, kinds of shit. He could start another band. I mean, it's fucking Dave Grohl. He can do whatever the fuck he wants. But, yeah, here we are. Josh Fries is now the drummer. And, which I was really kind of leaning on the idea. I was like, I thought the Foo Fighters would stay together. Whereas, I mean, they've been pretty much the same core group of guys now for, what, like, 20-something years? 30 years? Whatever the fuck it is. I guess it's over 20 years or 20-ish. They got together in like the current lineup. Like, the Foo Fighters came out like 95 or 96, but that was, you know, of course, the first album was just Dave. And then, yeah, I don't remember when The Color and the Shape came out. That's really when they cemented a lineup. Which I guess after the first album, I mean, he did put most of that group together. So he had a touring group. And of course, The Color and Shape came out. And yada yada. So I guess, man, I guess it's closer to 30 years that most of them have been a group. And they've been touring strong, you know, this entire fucking time. So it seemed unlikely that they would hang it up when Taylor passed on. And knowing that, you know, Dave Grohl's such a good drummer, and if it all else fails, I figured they would, when recording music, just have Dave do the drums and then just tour with, maybe have a revolving cast of drummers, but of course they got Josh Fries, and it seems like he's going to be, he's a full-time Foo Fighters, full-time Foo. Anyway, though. I really would love to go see a Foo Fighters show. I've just been constantly playing this Foo Fighters music, and I've been watching a lot of Foo Fighters videos lately. So, I mean, it seems inevitable that I got to do this. You know, unfortunately, there's too many bands that I've loved through the years that I did not go see live. And, but yet I've seen Tool like 5 times or something. I don't go to many concerts. I used to go to a lot more, but I never went to a lot of them per se. But it's just, it seems like a crime for me to not have been to a Foo Fighters show. anyway, the app I was got alerted to, I signed up to the Foo Fighters alerts off their like webpage and everything, and then it hooked me up with this app that Bands in Town app that you can follow all you know, bands from wherever, and then of course you can follow venues like near you or where, whatever fucking venue, and get alerts when shows are coming to town and whatnot. So I'm going to get alerted because I when the Foos come to St. Louis, I have no idea what the ticket price is going to be. It's probably going to be out there. I'm sure it's going to be out there, but damn it. I need to make that happen. Make it happen. As I, you know, the one that I think would, you know, kill the Foo Fighters if they passed on would be Dave Grohl. Past that, you know, I mean, it would suck, I'm sure, for him to continue on if, like, Pat or somebody, whenever they go, but, I mean, Nate and Pat have been with the group pretty much from the beginning. Soon it was just not Dave, although Pat left for a while. And then Chris Shiflett's been there with them for quite a few years. I mean, he came in 3rd or 4th album, something like that. Shifty. He's got a great YouTube channel. Shredding with Shifty is like one of the things he does on his YouTube channel, which he talks to guitarist that he's a big fan of and talk to him about certain albums and whatnot. And I'm starting to get a sore throat, man. Hopefully I'm not starting to get sick here, and that'll suck. It'll make going to a wedding even a little bit more rough. Getting dressed up and not feeling well, not a good combination. Not a good combination at all. As damn it, I wish After I get done with this, I'm probably going to have to pop a cough drop, man. Fuck, it is becoming an issue, the throat here, all of a sudden. As, yeah. I've watched a little, though I have not been to a Foo Fighters concert, I have watched a lot of live concerts of theirs. I think I watched originally when it, like when the Foo Fighters played Wembley, and I think it was 08, 09-ish. This is back when I still had cable. You know, long fucking time ago now. I think I watched it live when it happened at Wembley. It was a pretty sweet concert. It was a massive concert. Like, it maybe, it was on like VH1 or something, but it was, I want to say it was like live when it happened. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe they just played it like later. But I've also watched parts of that concert a lot on Z YouTube. As I do enjoy their live shows. I've seen a lot of live footage of them on YouTube there. And holy shit! I mean, I would imagine it'd be a different story to be there in person. I just don't do that enough with bands. So I got to get on that. You know, I would have loved to have seen Soundgarden live. And, you know, they were split up for a long time. And I didn't rush out to go see them when they got back together there within the last couple of years that Cornell was alive. And then, like, you know, he died. And it was just... wasn't expecting that, even though, I mean, his music would have suggested that suicide was probably on his mind quite a bit through the years, where it seemed like he had, like, battled with a lot of depression and darkness and what have you. I mean, he did have a song called Pretty Noose, which I love that song. But it feels weird now listening to that. And I wish I would have gone to see a Soundgarden show. I mean, I fucking love me some Soundgarden. And after, of course, he passed, I started getting way more into all of Cornell's, like, whole catalog, his solo stuff. I watched a lot of his fucking videos of him playing solo acoustic stuff. And really getting down and enjoying that. And that would have been awesome, just to see Cornell, like, live. And it's just like, I know with these bands that I haven't seen, like Dave Grohl, you know, just seeing him do anything. Like, if I could see him with, would have loved to have seen him with them Crooked Vultures, but I don't think that's ever going to happen again. I mean, John Paul Jones has got to be, like, at least in his 70s somewhere, if not, like, 80s. I don't think them Crooked Vultures are going to probably ever release another album or tour. Maybe they'll do, like, a show together or something. But, you know, just seeing Dave Grohl live seems like something that I have to do. But I can't keep postponing that, you know. Dave Grohl's only getting older. He's like 60-ish. I think he's still in his 50s, but he's like late 50s. Not 100% sure, but there's no telling how much longer that's going to be an option to go see, like, the Foo Fighters. It does seem that I will never get the chance to go see Rage Against the Machine, as Shelley had apparently gotten tickets for me for my birthday to go see Rage, but then Zach De La Roja, Rocha, I guess is Roca? However he actually pronounces it. It's... He hurt his leg and then just canceled all the Rage shows, and it does sound like that Rage will never get back together again. But I thought that before they had done those few shows that they'd done. And was under the impression that Rage would never be a thing again, and then they appeared. But I won't hold my breath that Rage Against the Machine will get back together. As it seems highly unlikely. Brad Wilk, I guess back in January, had basically said, "Yeah, it's done. We're not doing it ever again." Which is a shame, you know. There's not many bands that, you know, I've been that, like, into, which, I mean, I've loved a lot of bands, but, I mean, Rage, I've gone down a lot of that rabbit hole. And, I mean, if I was going to have, like, a Mount Rushmore, if you will, of guitarists, which I'm not fond of making statues of people, especially in the side of a fucking mountain, it seems a bit absurd to do that. Just saying. However, though, if I were going to have a Mount Rushmore of guitarists, which I'm pretty sure I've talked about this on the podcast before, but, I mean, Jimi Hendrix has got to be on there. That's a definite. And then Tony Iommi of, Black Sabbath. Definitely on there. And, of course, Adam Jones of Tool. This is, you know, not, I don't necessarily consider these four to be, like, the greatest ever or anything like that. It's just what, in my eyes, they're the ones most impactful to me. I mean, Hendrix might just be the greatest ever, but... and then, of course, Tom Morello. I mean, that would be my Mount Rushmore of guitarists. So, you know, That being said, I definitely would love to see Rage Against the Machine. Which would have been cool to see Audioslave too, which I enjoyed some of their songs like before Cornell died, but I didn't really do a deep dive ever into Audioslave, and it was just didn't really get in that much involved into it. And then when Cornell passed, I was listening to a fuck ton of it. And then after I got Tom Morello's signature guitar, I started to like learn how to play some of it, and then just enjoyed it even more. I don't know that I'd care to see Tom Morello's like solo stuff though. Maybe I'll feel differently if I'm alive for when he passes. But I haven't done that much deep dive into like the Watchmen, I believe is what, or the Night Watchmen, I guess is one of his solo things. He's been, you know, he's done shit with the Boss, Bruce Springsteen, and he's collabed with a lot of people. I do enjoy Tom's guitar work though. I'm going to have to pause for a second because my throat is really bothering me. Son of a bitch, and my mouse is being an issue. One downside to having three monitors going on, it can be hard to find where your fucking cursor is from the mouse. Oh, and I am back-ish. Man, I don't know what the hell's going on. So I've got my ears not feeling great. Maybe I shouldn't take that 5-hour energy earlier. That's probably a bad decision. I make a lot of bad decisions, though. It's just kind of what I do. I'm fucking Adam Sandler all of a sudden. Anyway, on other news, I was pretty excited that Archer, I believe they've released all the seasons onto the old Netflix. So I've been watching a little bit of that. I haven't gotten very far, as I'm on like the 13th season or something. I don't know. There's quite a few seasons of that show. I'm at the one that where they're in space. I haven't watched Archer in years. Classic show, though. Classic show. That's been fun. I did watch... there is the series on Netflix that they just released as well on Ashley Madison, which I was... aware that I was fully well aware of Ashley Madison being a thing. I knew about the hack that just released millions, pretty much all their users, their names and everything were released to the public. I just assumed that killed it. That it was Gonzo's. And then watching this documentary, which is an okay documentary. I was aware of, I guess, a good chunk of what's in there. I mean, I wasn't aware of the personal stories that they talk about in there. But I knew about the history of it. I remember when there were ads on it on the radio all the time. Because they bought ads on The Point. And the DJs... like Woody, when he was on there with Woody and Rizzuto, they talked about him like, hey, you know, we're not supporting this fucking website. We don't control who plays or what ads play on the radio station. I don't remember him having ads on there for very long. But I do remember when the hack happened. And that, but I assume though when they released all that information, I just assumed that the company went belly up, and that who the fuck is gonna go to this website after that? I mean, if you're unaware of what Ashley Madison is, the website, dating website for married people, that is for, you know, people that want to have an affair. Their tagline is, of course, life is short, have an affair. And you're supposed to be married to start a profile on Ashley Madison, which I'm at their website right now. And it's amazing to me they still have a fucking website. I really didn't think that was still a thing. The doc even talks about one person that had committed suicide as a result of his information getting out there that he was a member of Ashley Madison. And he was some kind of pastor or something, if I remember correctly. And he lost his job doing that. He was some kind of religious thing, some kind of religious studies or something he was involved with. And the day he killed himself, like, they were like, yep, you're out of here. And then you can't be here because you're fucking around your wife. I guess here's a article about it on Salon.com. This is 8 shocking Ashley Madison sex lies and scandal facts from Netflix's cheating website doc. So yeah, this is, we'll get into some of the shit here. Let's see here. For years, the tagline "Life is short, have an affair" was a tempting way to lure people in already committed relationships to use the extramarital affair dating website Ashley Madison. For others devoted to their committed relationships, it was their worst nightmare. At the beginning of the dot-com boom in 2001, Ashley Madison became a space where married people or people in relationships could indulge in their secret fantasies outside of their monogamous relationships. Well, that is until the site itself, which reportedly currently has 80 million users worldwide, which is, if that's accurate, it would be over double of what they had when the hack happened. Says, experienced a targeted hack that resulted in a catastrophic data leak in 2015. The safety and anonymity promised to Ashley Madison users were compromised when their data was exposed to the world. In turn, people gathered and compiled lists of who used the website, publicly shaming users for their infidelities. The latest Netflix docuseries, Ashley Madison Sex, Lies, and Scandal, highlights how the website transformed from a low-budget infidelity dating website to a certified cultural pariah and controversial household name that revolutionized the way people in the modern dating world had affairs. The docuseries also details the experience of former Ashley Madison employees, people who had used the dating service, and the fallout from the data leak. Number one here is Christian influencers Sam and Nia's part in Scandal. Two of the main characters in the series are Christian YouTubers Sam and Nia Raider. I didn't look it up, but when I hear the name Raider, I think Dennis Raider. The BTK, the Bind, Torture, Kill, the serial killer. I don't know if there's any relation, but as soon as I saw his name, I was unfamiliar with their YouTube, but apparently it's a pretty big YouTube videos at one point. It says, their story begins, as every relationship does, in love and with plans for the future. The young Texan couple found their footing when they went viral for a video of them performing Love is an Open Door from the Disney movie Frozen while driving. The couple hit the jackpot family vlogging. However, before and during their online fame, Sam used Ashley Madison to have numerous affairs with women who weren't his wife, Nia. That was, of course. For years, Sam kept up the charade that he was the devoted, loving Christian husband to Nia and father to their 2 children. However, this changed when Ashley Madison was hacked and the data leak. Sam's affairs and use of the dating service were exposed. At first, he only told part of the truth. In a YouTube apology video posted to the couple's channel, Sam said at the time, "As you may have seen, my name has been associated with an Ashley Madison account. I'm here to clarify some of this with you guys because I owe it to you. I did make the account. I made the account 2 years ago. This is an issue that is in our past. This was before I got onto YouTube." He denied ever having an affair on the website and said the account was opened out of pure fleshly desires and out of simple curiosity. Even Nia bought into that story. But in the docuseries, Sam admits, what I said in the video is mostly pretty much just all lies. It was just, protect yourself, man. Ultimately, it's revealed that Sam had been cheating throughout his relationship with Nia through Ashley Madison. At massage parlors and strip clubs and two emotional relationships with Nia's own friends. The couple is still together and have reconciled despite Sam's infidelities. Nia, she decided she would give me a second chance, Sam said. I've learned continuing to deeply be in love takes work. That's a lot of things that I really do regret, but there's a lot of things. Shit. But I don't regret, you know, the hack. Nia told Netflix, I believe that marriages can be healed. It's worth fighting to fix your marriage. Talking about Noel Bitterman putting Ashley Madison on the map. That's the former CEO, which, if I remember correctly, he was a... To sum it up without having to read this whole article, man, there was a lot of shit in here. he was a lawyer that was a married gentleman that was going on, you know, saying like this is actually healthy for marriages because he's talking about it's healthy for people to cheat to get that stuff, you know, to make them happy. You gotta whack them off, beat them off, get that baby juice out one way or the other. If it's not happening at home, you got to go outside. And this way, it's with another married person, so that they have no reason to fuck your life up and say, I definitely fucked him. Whatever. Anywho. Yeah, it did turn out in the hack that... that Noel Bitterman was having an affair, which he had said, made publicly. Him and his wife had come forward like, oh yeah, we're in a committed relationship. I'm not a cheater, but I don't judge those that do. And of course it turned out in the hack that he very much was cheating on his wife. Unbeknownst to her. Which you would think, being married to a guy that was the head of a company, of a dating site that was for cheaters, that you know, you'd be a little apprehensive, you know, like, I think he might be into what he's selling, you know? Maybe. Perhaps. As, it definitely came out in emails that he was fucking around. And he was, I believe, getting, like, prostitutes and stuff. And I don't know why he had that in emails. He should be well aware of how much data is kept up there. But, yeah, it goes more into in this article about... many of the things on the thing. One of them here is talking about the discretion Ashley Madison promised was a lie. It says the site's entire premise was that people could have affairs that would remain secret through the website. So Ashley Madison told its users that it would wipe their data and digital footprint for a price. It was like $20. According to the docuseries and former Ashley Madison employees, many users used this feature thinking it would protect them, but it was all false. They paid for data protection and discretion, and none of their data was ever deleted or wiped. It was not as advertised. The fallout of the leak was even more devastating to users because they were promised a false sense of security by people like Bitterman. Which, I mean, they, in the documentary, they get... they get into that whole thing about paying the $20 to have your account permanently deleted, scrubbed from the internet. And there was no attempt on Ashley Madison's part to ever delete that information. And by all accounts, they made over $1 million. It was, I guess, in a short period of time for people like paying that $20 to delete their shit. And there was no attempt whatsoever to delete their information. Which kills me that this stuff, they were doing this stuff. And, people still, it's still a thing. I can't believe that it's still a thing. Like, they caught committing fraud. All, you know, all these people that were using the site just got outed. It turns out, too, not that, like, this article does not really get very detailed into that, which I think was one of the more bigger parts of that article. Is that the fraud aspect. And this probably isn't much of a shock these days. But they had bots. Intentionally, the company themselves created bots to interact with the customers to keep them on Ashley Madison. And because as not being a member of Ashley Madison, I am not not well versed with how it works. I did look up the website just a minute ago just to see what the fuck was on there. So like it looks like it did back in the day, like same kind of fucking layout, I suppose. All the again, there's no reason for me. I mean, I guess I could create, I could lie and say I'm a married dude to go on there. But there's no need for me to do that. There's no need for me to do that. Seeing as though I am not in any relationship. No need for me to go have an affair. Unless I guess I just wanted to be a creeper and just fucking try to bang a bunch of married ladies. Not doing that either. Not doing that. But I lost where I was going with this. I got distracted too. I found they have a fucking Instagram page too. This is just, it's just crazy to me that they're still very much a thing. Oh, the bots. In the docuseries, they get into them making a fuck ton of accounts that were completely fake and being ran out of their offices. And they did this. And from what I understand, the way it works in Ashley Madison, I imagine this is how it still works, at least the time of the hack. You'd have to buy credits to be able to converse with people. And so you're just constantly using your fucking credit card to buy credits and be able to message and receive messages, whatever. And they would have these fake accounts. Now, I don't know if they've... Yeah, one would imagine after, you know, all the stuff came public that maybe they would crack down on some of the fraud and whatnot. But yeah, they would have these bots contact people, which it was just people that worked for Ashley Madison that would talk to... flirt with these guys like, ooh, hey, you're hot, whatever. Yeah, let's fuck. By doing so, for the gentlemen, which, I mean, it's predominantly men that go to Ashley Madison. Overwhelming. I mean, the Bitterman, when he said, it was like 60% men is what he said. From all estimates, it sounds like there's probably more like 90% men that go on there. Anyway, anyway, I lost track. My head is really bothering me a little bit. I don't know what the fuck's going on. It makes me really not want to go out later. The whole bot thing, I mean, them contacting these people that were paying money to talk to people on their website. I mean, I don't feel too bad for guys that are trying to fuck around on their wives and pay out all this money. It's kind of funny. But it is fraud all the same. And it would keep these guys involved with this website and more willing to shell out the cash, because every time they converse with these fake people, they got to keep shelling out more cash. And I mean, I guess if you're already working on a website that's going all for getting people to stray away from their marriage, perhaps you're not going to have any moral issues with committing further fraud to these people. Which it seems like, at least back in the day, that was what was going on. They were like, I mean, they're fucking around in their wives. What do I care if they're spending their, you know, money to on this shit, talking to a fake person? As, yeah, it is, it was an all right doc. I mean, it wasn't the best docu-series I've ever seen. You know, I'm a big fan of true crime and what have you. But it was all right. It was all right. It was worth a watch. I don't know if you still can, but you can... At least when the hack came out, you could go out and look... to see if your significant other was on the website, which I feel like I need to go on there just to see if my ex was on there, 'cause she's been married for many years now, just out of curiosity. But yeah, that's neither here nor there. I could see this being a thing. As someone that has been cheated on, I gotta say, you know, it sucks, but, you know, I wouldn't, watching the docuseries and seeing, like, the one woman, her husband killed himself, you know, I don't think these people need to, like, kill themselves or die or anything like that. I wouldn't want to be in a relationship with somebody that was cheating, as, I've done that before, and it's not something I'm crazy about. Not something crazy. And I don't know, if I was in a relationship with somebody and we agreed to be like, oh yeah, you can be with other people, which I don't think I could do that either. But it definitely doesn't feel good to find out that they're fucking around with you in secret. It's not a pleasant thing. But again, I don't wish death upon these people. And I've had friends that have strayed. To the best of my knowledge, none of my good friends have made a constant thing of it, but that's not exactly something you just, like, tell people. It's like, oh, yeah, I've been fucking this girl on the side now for 3 years. My side piece. Yeah, generally, I don't think if you're doing that in secret, you're probably just not mentioning that a whole lot. And when the friends that I have that have cheated, when found out about it, I mean, I wasn't excited for it. I was like, oh, that sucks. it's just not. And then when you have a friend that you know is cheating, and you're like, damn it, please don't use me in your lies. Please don't involve me in this. Especially if you know their significant other. It's not cool, man. Not cool at all. I think I'm going to have to wrap this up, as I do need to get ready for later, and somehow need to clear my shit up, man. Fuck. I cannot believe how shitty I'm starting to feel. I think my body's just like, fuck you, I don't want to go out. Let's just get sick. I got to go to this wedding. It's going to happen. Sounds like I might have to get doped up to do it, though. It's, I don't even want to do the drinking and stuff. I don't really feel like drinking much these days. I guess probably, too. I had Third Thursday. I did have a couple of drinks the other night, which was fine. Oh, and I forgot to mention, shit. Oh, Third Thursday, I got to finally, see my, buddy Mickey. Just... fairly recently got done hiking. This is several months back now that he finished it up. Fuck, it was done in November. It was quite a few months ago. Well over a half a year ago. He finished hiking the whole Appalachian Trail. It's been that long. I mean, I didn't see him since... The last time I saw him was like right before he left for it. He went I want to say in June of last year, and it took through to like early November-ish. And I knew it'd be like a life-changing thing. He just retired. He worked at Ameren for 30 years. And he retired early. And hiked the whole Appalachian Trail. And was talking about, got to see like moose out in the wild, which I was like, that's fucking awesome. Like, a couple of times he saw bears. They weren't like coming at him or anything like that. But he did see, you know, some wildlife. He met a lot of awesome people out there. Everybody out there gets a trail name. His is Rabbit Foot because he kept a rabbit's foot on him at all times. And, he's just, the pictures he had were pretty fantastic of camping out on top of like mountains and shit. And, him telling these stories, I was pretty excited to like hear. I mean, the way you could tell, I mean, this is just something that just affected him deeply and just the whole time. And that, he was getting like emotional, like telling the stories and stuff and almost sold me on doing it. But, I couldn't afford to do that. I'm never going to be able to afford to retire, much less go hike the whole Appalachian Trail. But holy shit, yeah, that's a weird thing to go into after talking with Ashley Madison. I should have been talking about that more than just fucking Ashley Madison. That's just something I finished watching yesterday, so it was like right there on the top of my brain. As he did finish the whole Appalachian Trail. He did the whole thing. He went into the wilderness, which there's 100 miles. Like when you first start, there's like 100 miles of wilderness where there's no fucking stores or anything to stop into. And then after that, there's stores and shit you can get to every so often. But he went through the whole 100 miles of wilderness. So he was doing it upright. Yeah, my throat is fucking bothering me. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to wrap this one up. As always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.